I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I've entitled this message, Saved by Grace Through Faith. Now, this is a passage of Scripture that I dare say all of you love and have heard, and I don't think I'm going to be saying anything that you haven't heard before. But I'm going to preach tonight as if no one has ever heard these verses before. And I know this, that if the Lord enables me to preach and you to hear, hearing will be like hearing for the first time. Isn't it wonderful when the Lord enables you to hear that way? Like hearing for the first time. Salvation by grace through faith. Now, there's not a more important declaration in all the Word of God than this passage in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's begin reading in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. By grace are you saved. Now, my greatest need and your greatest need is to be saved. Amen. That's my greatest need, and that's your greatest need. Now, the word saved is in the perfect passive tense, a completed action that I am passive in. There is no work for me to do to be saved. It reads literally, by grace you having been saved. Having been saved. Well, saved from what? By grace, you having been saved. Saved from what? Well, let me give you four things I need to be saved from. First, I need to be saved from God. My sin is against Him. And He can justly send me to hell to the praise of His justice. I need to be saved from Him. You know, I love that passage of Scripture. If God be for us, who can be against us? But if God be against you, who can be for you? I need to be saved from God. And I need to be saved from myself. I am my own greatest enemy. Not you, not the devil, myself. I think of what the Lord said to Israel, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. The worst thing that could happen to me is for the Lord to leave me to myself, to just remove His hand from me and leave me to myself. That's the worst thing that could happen to me. I need to be saved from myself. I need to be saved from God. I need to be saved from my sins. I mean myself, and I need to be saved from my sins. I love that verse of Scripture in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. I need to be saved from my sins because I'm a sinner. That's the one who commits the sins. God doesn't put sins in hell. He puts the ones who committed those sins into hell. And I need to be saved from my sins. I was born a sinner. Were you? I was born that way. I cannot not sin. All I do is sin, and my sin is all my fault. I can't blame it on somebody else. I can't blame it on God's sovereignty or you or my circumstances. My sin is all my fault. And I can't look down my nose in judgment upon any son or daughter of Adam. I really can't. I've got no claims on God because of my sin. If he elected everybody but me, if Christ died for everybody but me, if God the Holy Spirit regenerated everybody but me, I couldn't charge him with injustice. I need saved from my sins. I need saved from the penalty of sin. I need saved from the power of sin. I need saved from the presence of sin. I need saved from my sins. I need saved from God. I need saved from myself. I need saved from my sins. And I need saved from my circumstances. The things that my sin gets me into. The terrible things that my sin can bring upon me. I need God to do for me that which only he can do. Bring good out of evil. The circumstances that my sin creates, Lord, save me from those circumstances. I need saved. That's my greatest need. That's your greatest need. And the only way I can be saved is by grace. By grace are you saved. Grace is not God's response to me. It's not God's response to you. It's his response to himself. He said, I will be gracious. To whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy. To whom I will show mercy. Now I know you've heard the textbook definition of grace. Unmerited favor. And indeed it is. Not only is it unmerited favor, it's demerited favor. Somebody once said, and I've always liked this, mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. And grace is God giving you what you do not deserve. Now, I don't deserve God's love. I don't have it by entitlement. I don't deserve the forgiveness of my sins. I don't deserve to stand just before God without guilt. I don't deserve to have my sins paid for. I don't deserve his grace. I don't deserve his mercy. That doesn't have anything to do with it, though, does it? Grace doesn't have anything to do with any merit on my part. God's grace, God's favor is in spite of me. It's in spite of you. Look in verse 1 of this same chapter. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were not by nature the children of wrath, just like everybody else, but you turned things around. But you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and asked him into your heart. But God. Not but you did anything. Not but you were sorry for your sin. Not but you turned from your sin and didn't return to it. But God. In spite of you. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Now this word grace, I love the way it sounds. I enjoy saying it. By grace you are saved. I love the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is my second favorite word. Grace. By grace you are saved. Now let me give you some of the ways this same Greek word is translated in the New Testament. It's translated acceptable. Only grace can make me acceptable. Where it says you're accepted in the beloved, literally, you're graced in the beloved. It's translated a benefit. What a benefit grace is. It's translated favor. Mary found favor in the eyes of the Lord, just like Noah did. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's translated a gift, a free gift. Not something you earn, but something that's given to you freely. It's translated joy. It's a joy to God. Listen to this. It's a joy to God to give you His grace. And if you receive it, it's a joy to you to receive it. It is translated liberality. It's the liberality of God. It's translated pleasure, saved according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. You know, every time you read the word thanks, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. It's the word grace. Thankworthy. Oh, how thankworthy the God of all grace is. You see, grace is who God is. Now listen to this scripture real carefully. John chapter 1, verse 17. The law was given by Moses. Now, didn't God give the law? Yeah, but it was given through Moses. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Isn't the law the truth? Well, what did the verse say? The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see, God's way of saving by grace is the truth of who He really is. God manifests all His character in how He saves by His grace. Every attribute of God is on display. You can't know, I can't know, the truth of God apart from the grace of God. God's justice is displayed in His grace. He's made a way to be just and justify the ungodly. And you can use this, you can just as easily use the word the cross for this. God manifests every attribute of who He is through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see His wisdom in making a way to be just and justify somebody like me. You see His sovereignty. You see His power to actually put away sin, make it not to be. You see His mercy. You see His immutability. Christ has always been the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's grace is who He is. Those who are saved by grace. Now, not everybody's saved. Isn't that so? Not everybody's saved. That's a sobering thought. Not everybody's saved. Those who are saved by grace. And the fountainhead of that grace is Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. All of God's grace is in, by, through, and because of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And turn with me for a moment to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I love this verse of Scripture. 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who hath saved us. That's everything we believe, isn't it? He saved us. And called us. Note the order. What came first? The saving. What came next? The calling. Do you know you were saved, if you are saved? You were saved in the Lamb's flame from the foundation of the world. That's how secure your salvation is. It's by grace you having been saved. Now we're going to get more in a moment as to how you can know if that's true concerning you, but this is so important. This salvation came before the calling. The calling came because of the salvation. Now let's go on reading. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. It was not God's response to anything you've done. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. All that we have was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, salvation by grace. Electing grace, redeeming grace, justifying grace, regenerating grace, preserving grace. Whatever aspect of salvation you're talking about, salvation is by the grace of God. And I love what the Lord said to the Apostle Paul when he had that thorn in the flesh. Who knows what it was? He besought the Lord three times that it might depart. I don't think that means literally three times. It means a whole bunch. And what did the Lord say to him? My grace is sufficient for thee. You're going to have to be content and satisfied to be saved by pure, free, sheer grace. You satisfied with that? You looking for anything else? My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, here's a big question. How can I know if I've been saved by His grace? How can I know if I have been saved by His grace? We'll read our text once again. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, He hasn't extended His favor toward everybody. I've already said that. There is a place called hell, and it's inhabited. There are people there right now. Not everyone is saved. Well, who are those who have been saved by grace? By grace are you saved through faith. Well, what's faith? Somebody says, well, it's belief. Okay, believe what? By grace are ye saved through faith. Somebody says, well, you have to believe you're saved. You have to believe that Christ died for your sins. You have to believe that God has had mercy on you. You have to believe you've been born again. You have to believe you've been elected. You have to believe these things. Don't let the devil make you think different. You have to believe that there's a work of grace done in your heart and you've really been changed. You have to believe that. There are a whole lot of people in hell who believed every one of those things. Faith does not have anything to do with what you believe about yourself. Faith doesn't have anything to do with what you think, well, I believe Christ died for me. Faith has wholly to do with what you believe concerning Him. Whoso believeth that he's saved is born of God. Didn't quote that right, did I? Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, I heard a preacher make this statement recently. He said, to be saved, you must turn from your sins and trust Christ. To be saved, Let me repeat that. To be saved, you must turn from your sins and trust Christ. Now let's see how the Apostle Paul answered that question. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Verse 30. This is the Philippian jailer. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And notice, he doesn't ask, "What must I do to save myself?" He knew that was impossible. What must I do to be saved? There's not a more important question we can consider. Now, how did Paul answer? Well, you must turn from your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say that, did he? He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." When the Lord was coming into that home where the little girl had died, he didn't say, "Turn from your sins and believe, and your daughter shall live." He said, "Believe only, and thy daughter shall live." Now understand this. The only evidence of salvation is faith in Christ. Not how well you've turned from your sins. Not how well you've changed your life. If you can look at your life and think, "I must be saved because I do," and fill in the blank, whatever it is, you've missed it. The only evidence of salvation, of being saved by God's grace, is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I realize somebody will say, "Well, you're saying it's okay to not turn from your sins." I'm not saying anything of that sort. All I'm doing is preaching the gospel. Don't put anything between faith and Christ. "Well, I need to turn from my sin." You've messed up what faith is altogether. Faith in Christ is faith alone. I love what the Ethiopian eunuch said when he said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" "Well, if you believe with all your heart, you may." "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." What think ye of Christ? Not what do you think of yourself. What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what faith is. "For by grace are ye saved through faith." And you know, I've heard preachers and church members use this all the time. You can be a Catholic, you can be a Baptist, you can be a Presbyterian or a Methodist, whatever, all these denominations. "Well, I believe in salvation by grace through faith. I believe in salvation by grace through faith." And what they mean by that is God offers his grace and you accept it by faith, which is neither what grace is nor what faith is. Grace, God's grace isn't an offer. He doesn't offer his grace to you. He saves you by it. He doesn't throw it up out there for your acceptance or rejection. He saves by his grace. And when he saves you by his grace, you receive his grace. But Paul didn't end there. "By grace are you saved through faith," though that's where most people ended. But notice he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." And that faith, it's not of yourselves. It's not the product of some decision you made. You don't decide to believe. You only believe when you have no choice. You don't choose to believe. It didn't come from you. "That not of yourselves." Faith is the gift of God. And if you have it, he gave it to you. And you know that. I don't have to convince you of that. You know there was a time you didn't believe and you didn't even know what it meant to believe. And all of a sudden you find yourself believing. And that's because that is the gift of God. Just as much a gift as every other aspect of salvation. You see, all of salvation is by grace. How much is election by grace? We say all of it. We weren't even born. That's right. Well, how much is faith by grace? completely. By grace are you saved, through faith, and that faith, it's not of yourselves, it's the gift. It's the free gift of God given to his elect, given to those for whom Christ died, given to those that God the Holy Spirit gives life to, and the evidence that he's done these things for them is they look to Christ only. Now here's the evidence that God's given you grace. All you have is Christ. That's it. If you have anything else, you've never received his grace, don't even know what it is. But if all you have is Christ, you have no other plea but him. That's all you have right now. You haven't grown past that position. You haven't got better than that position. That's where you're at right now, and you don't want to be anywhere else. If that's the case, God has given you his grace. By grace are you saved, through faith, looking to Christ. And that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's not going to have anybody boasting before him. I love verse 10, for we are his workmanship. You didn't have anything to do with this. We are his workmanship. Now, you think of an artist that puts together a beautiful painting. Well, that didn't evolve into that. It didn't just, the paint didn't just all of a sudden, there's that, out comes a picture. Not like that at all, is it? And what if, say, some great artist did some kind of great work, and I said, well, let me put my mark on it to make it complete. Well, that'd be offensive, wouldn't it? It'd be wrong. We are his workmanship. Created. I like that term. Created. How much do you have to do with creation? You didn't have your hand in that, did you? Either in the first creation or the second creation. Created in Christ Jesus. That's where God's mercy and grace is. It's in Christ Jesus. Just as, what does it mean to be in Adam? Well, it means it's more than him being your representative. It means you were in him. Whatever he did, you did. What's it mean to be in Christ? Well, if you're in him, whatever he did, you did. That's what we confess in baptism. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And when we hear of good works, we generally think, oh, I need more of those. Or somebody may think, well, I got plenty of them. I'm in good shape there. But if you think anything you've done is good work, let me assure you it's not. It's not. But God has before ordained that we would walk in good works by his grace. What are those good works? Well, anything done out of love to Christ. It's that simple. You know, the only thing the Lord called a good work was when that woman performed that good work on him. That spontaneous love. She broke the alabaster box of ointment upon him out of love to him. No, didn't say anything about it. She just did it. And that's the only thing we read where our Lord called was a good work. But look at this. God has ordained before that we should walk in them. Now, if God ordains something, is there any way it's not going to take place? No. This thing of good works is not, well, I need to do this. Don't even think that way. It's the life of the believer. It's the life of the believer. He loves Christ. He walks. God has foreordained that he walk in these good works, and that's exactly what he's going to do. How come? Because by grace he is saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God's not going to have any flesh glorying in his presence. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. By grace are you saved. Let's pray.